This is episode 48 with Naweed.
I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream. And they fill it with their secrets. It's called Inception.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Cerebral Mind Control Podcast. My name is Hadlin, and in every episode, I dive deep into the minds of artists and entrepreneurs and find out how they have learned to control their minds for success. And in turn, you get to listen to our conversation and learn alongside myself. Now, every episode is brought to you by Hadlin Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services, ranging from magic, mentalism, hypnosis, photo booths, DJs, videographers, and photographers. You name it, and we can do it in entertainment services. On this episode, we speak and learn from Naweed Shirzai. He's a photographer, a videographer, a young entrepreneur from here in Saskatoon, who's also a pilot. But you know what? We go into it all on this episode, and I learned so much, and I can't wait for you guys to learn alongside myself as you listen to this episode. And please, if you haven't subscribed already, hit that now, and we'll see you every week with new content. All right, without further ado, I present to you, Naweed.
What's up, man? Thanks for coming out.
Dude, thanks for having me.
Man, it's very exciting for me to have you here, because, I don't know, we've talked before about it,
yeah. But
I followed your work for quite a while, and it's just kind of cool how things aligned that way, and now, you know, you took my photos.
Yeah,
Awesome photos, and
thanks.
Now you're here.
Yeah, no, I followed you for a bit. I don't know where I came upon you, man. Like, honestly, I think I, like, added you on Instagram. I followed you on Instagram, and then I kind of just followed you for a bit, because then I went on a couple of trips. When I came back, I was like, I did a whole, like, a week of photo shoots in this condo we had, or this place we rented. And then I was like, it'd be dope to get you in that place to do this photo shoot. But then by like the fifth model, we were tired anyway. Like, we were drained. We couldn't even do any more shoots. But then I was like, I got to still message this guy to do a shoot. And then we had that, you know, the basement there.
Yeah.
And I was like, we might as well do a shoot there. It's sitting wide open. And now looking back, I'm like, I could have done so many things better at that shoot. But I think it was a good start.
And I don't, well, you know, obviously you're going to be more critical on your own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But from my perspective, you know, just a person who doesn't do photography at all.
Yeah.
You know, I came in there. It's like, just so you guys can get a kind of a picture. It's just this empty basement, you know, cement floors, empty walls, kind of dark.
Yeah.
But then you brought in all these lights and somehow made the background completely white. And then on the other hand, somehow made it completely black. And man, I was super impressed.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like in that basement, I think it would have been better if I had, if I had some lights that were colored, you know what I mean? Like if I had some red, some blues going on, that's
kinda
just
like,
yeah, exactly. You know, just like that. If I just had a bit more lights like that. But at that time, you know, at the time you don't really think of it.
Yeah.
It's after that you're done. You're like, exactly. Oh shit, I should have done it like this.
Or that's kind of how you learn. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, and what I've been doing is I've been staying up late and just trying to been learning lighting. Cause I didn't go to any school or anything, right, to learn, photography or videography. So my thing is YouTube, right? Well, just like most people, YouTube is where I learn from. And I've just been sitting down learning lighting. And I was like, man, would have been cool to do so much more. Like a thing that I really wanted to do was maybe have a deck of cards in your hand and made you shoot them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like had you do the shuffle where it goes from the top to the bottom. But at the time, you know, we didn't really think of it. And now I'm like, ah, damn it. Should have done that.
Floating mic, though.
Yeah, you know,
that's my favorite part, man. You did a good job with that.
Dope, yeah.
So, for the people that don't know who you are, let's just go through like maybe a quick backstory of where you came to your current level of success.
Okay, cool. So my name is Naweed. It literally sounds like no weed. I've been held up at borders saying that. When I was, say, 15, I used to go to these teen dances. You know, I don't know if you remember, like, back, yeah, like, you know, 6-7 years ago. And whenever I used to go to these, I'm like, man, I'm like, the guys that are putting on these shows are like 40-year-olds. You know, a very good friend of mine, he just passed away, who was, you know, doing a lot for the city, was DJ Fresh. And he passed away. And, you know, we were going to these dances, and I was like, man, we could do it so much better. So I got my cousin, and I'm like, man, I'm like, let's both put in $1,500 each, and let's do our first teen dance. I was 16 years old. We do these shows. Everything goes good. Some shows I did and then it got on to the point where I made enough money to do concerts. So my very first concert was Carl Wolf. I don't know if you know Carl Wolf.
I don't know.
Okay. He's like the guy that sang like Africa and like,
okay. Yeah.
You know, and, he's from Toronto.
Yeah, I'm bad with names. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know, and we brought him down, and in my head, I was like, yeah, I was like, this guy's going to do good. Lost everything. I mean, $15,000 down the drain. Like, I think 150 people showed up. It was so bad. But those 150 people loved it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I cared about, was the people that came out. I lost money because usually after a show, I'd go home and I'd have a table and I'd put all the cash on the table. And my mom would be like, oh my God, so much cash, you know, like a brown parrot, you know? So the next day I get home and I'm just sleeping. And my mom comes, wakes me up. She's like, Noeed? I'm like, yeah, mom. She's like, where's the money? I'm like, what money? She's like, the money. And I was like, we didn't, like, there was no money. Like, we lost it, man. And just my mom, like, broke down and, you know, just, you know, we lost 15 grand. It was a lot of money, you know, it's for a 16-year-old to lose. All this being done and said, I was working at my dad's convenience. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this one, but I was working at my dad's store, or I was working at a store. Let's just say that. I was working at a store. It was Christmas Eve. And the reason I don't want to say this is because I was underage, so I don't know if I can say this, but I was old enough, but I was scratching lottery tickets.
Okay.
Scratching lottery tickets, and this blackjack ticket, $21,000. And I'm like, damn, I was like, people like us don't win. You know, I was like, it's always the lucky people, the older generation that always wins. I'm like, I can't. Went on Google, learned everything about blackjack, and I was like, I think I won. So I call my dad down and I'm like, dad, I was like, you got to get down here. I just want 21 grand. Comes down, slapped the shit out of me for playing lottery. And he's like, well, the family needed this money. He's like, that's a good thing. That all being done said, then another show came, which DJ Fresh introduced me to. This show, I can't name the show because there were so many investors in this. And he was like, what you got to put in is $21,000. And that's exactly what I had won.
Dang.
So I told my dad, I went to my dad, I'm like, hey dad, I need 21 grand. And he just slapped the shit out of me again. He's like, you know, your family's at a rough point. We can't have that money. So I sold my car, any other equipment I had, everything I had. I think I got together 6-7 grand. And my dad's like, okay, well, this kid's obviously showing so much interest. Must be worth it. So with that 7 grand, he gave me the rest. That show did so good that in 2 hours, Fresh called me and he's like, check your account. I checked my account. It was $84,000. So it was very, very, the show sold out in 2 hours. So it was high. After paying off everybody, I had about $41,000 and I was 16 years old.
Damn.
And then I was like, man, I was like, you know, like every time I go to a show, I see these people selling stuff, you know, clothes. And I was like, I could sell it way cheaper. And I've always had the hustle of going to school, selling like phone cases, screen protectors, chargers. That was just like a thing I did, you know, buy them from China for pennies on the dollar, come here, sell it for a dollar. And my thing was, I would always sell it cheap because I would, same thing like that $15,000 that I lost. I didn't care about the money as long as the 100 people had a blast of a time. And they did, because I told all of them to come meet Carl Wolf, and Carl Wolf took pictures with all of them. So we had a blast of a time. And that's how I live my life. As long as you have a good time, the money will come itself. And it did, you know, like the 21 grand came by itself. Now, most people won't, you know, live their life like that because you got to pay bills.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was in that point where I was like, I have enough money to do whatever I want. So now I'm like, dad, I want to open up a clothing store. And this is where another huge fight between a lot of, Saskatoon is a small community. So I know we're just meeting right now, but like a lot of the other photographers, videographers, we're all friends. We all talk. And so I used to hang out with these guys, you know, Dilly Bat Productions,
okay,
J.O. Stacks TV, and all these guys. We were all homies. We were all good friends. And Dylan used to make these air fresheners, necklaces, made out of Goodwood. I don't know if you remember Goodwood back in the day.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. The Goodwood, it said so fresh in there. And because it was so fresh, right? Yeah. And his music had, you know, like so fresh. Like it was just like, it was basically Dylan's thing. And so I tell my dad, I'm like, let's open up this clothing store. And he's like, okay. He's like, if that's what you want to do, you got 41 grand. You're 17 years old now. We're driving home right beside my house, maybe 10 blocks away in Wedge Road. A place just goes on lease. Just, I don't know. This place has been there for 20 some years, randomly goes on lease. And my dad's like, what is the odds of this place going on lease as soon as you got this money? I'm like, okay, let's check it out. Go inside, and the landlord, say, was asking $100 a square feet. We offered him like 10. We offered him so low. And he calls back, and he's in Calgary. He's like, who do you think you are? He's like, do you think this is a joke? And just rips me apart. After that goes, his wife calls me. And she's like, hey, how old are you? And I was like, 17. She's like, my husband might not agree, but I like your attitude. I'll take your offer. Whoa. And this is like back when the market was like really good. So they could have found somebody to lease it easily. So they give it to me. Me, my dad, and my cousin do the construction of the store. And we start building. We start making a hall. And we put a photography studio in there, music studio in there, and the actual clothing store. So registering the name, I put down 21 names. And the only name available was the 21th name, which was So Fresh Clothing. So this started like a whole chain of events on Facebook where people were like, why not start your own idea? Why steal somebody else's name? And I agreed to it at one point. I'm like, yeah, I was like, I understand, man. If somebody did that to me, I'd be mad. But I'm like, I put down 21 goddamn names. And I was like, the only name available was the name that my friend Dillybad at that time.
Yeah.
Or Dylan, sorry. Was, you know, used to. That was right. His thing. So whatever, you know, we had this beef. We didn't talk for like 2 years. And now we just became friends again here like 8 months ago, because we went to a bar and we just started doing shots together, and we just put everything behind us because it was a stupid fight, but it made sense. And I own up to it, right? I was like, business-wise, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So this store gets open, and I'm 17 years old, and I'm in class doing CBC's calling, CTV's calling, Global, Star Phoenix, and anybody who's anybody is calling to do an interview with the kid that's 17 that opened up his clothing store. So I open up this clothing store. It's doing great. We get all the brands from Kirks and Castles to New Era, Wu-Tang, everything. We're doing shows. People like Justin, DJ Fresh, all these guys are letting us sell their tickets, and we're doing pretty well. You know, we're doing some months where we're doing $20, but then we're doing some months in December where we're doing $60,000, right? So then I got a 17-year-old kid that has way too much money.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He buys stupid shit. So I went and bought 3 Canon 5D Mark IIIs, you know, stupid shit like that. And I'm not the guy that likes cars, so I'm not a car guy. You know, other people are like, well, why don't you buy a nice car? I'm as long as it gets me to point A to point B, that's all I care about. I'd rather buy 17 GoPros than buy a vehicle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just like a thing. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to need 17 GoPros for, but I'm going to need it one day. Yeah, you know,
I'm there with you, man.
You know I what I mean? Like, that. And I'm like, I'd rather buy equipment like that. So the store was doing good. Photography, music, not so good, right? Because kids just didn't have money. We had our Johnny gave us this equipment for our music studio that cost, the table alone cost about 20 grand.
Okay.
So we ended up breaking down the photography studio, keeping the music studio because we needed more space for the clothing store.
Right.
Then we broke down the music studio and this made this a flat store. We took down everything. At that time, it was me, J.O., Randy G., and we were just working together, you know, all of us just brand new into the business and this and that. Store's doing good and everything, and one day I'm sitting downstairs and, I mean, you know, I'm assuming just like yourself, you're an immigrant, I'm an immigrant, and in our culture, what we're doing right now isn't valuable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I totally.
You know what I mean? Like immigrants rather come to you and be like, I rather have my son be a doctor, engineer,
right,
than, you know, school. A photographer or a videographer or a hypnotist, you know, because back home they don't know what that is.
Yep.
Oh, you know, that's just a guy that, you know, stands on stage, or that's just a guy that has the camera. It's not back home. It's nothing.
Exactly.
You know, where people are making millions doing this, but nobody cares about that. So a friend of my dad comes over and he's like, oh, he's like, what does your son do? My dad's like, he's a businessman. And this guy's like, oh, that's cool. One of my son's an engineer. The other one's a doctor. Literally says that word for word like that. It hits my dad hard because we came to this country for education.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, wow, like I didn't think that, you know, it's such a big deal. So my dad comes down and he's like, hey, Nuit. I'm like, yeah, Dad. He's like, why don't you try out piloting? He's like, maybe you'd like it. And I'm over here like, you know, my dad gave me 18, 17 best years of my life. You know what I mean? Like he wouldn't have money, but he would get, you know, just like an immigrant parent. Any, I'm not saying my dad's the greatest dad. I mean, to me, he is, but he's just another immigrant parent. For sure. He'd rather spend all of his money on his kids, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, yeah, Dad. I was like, I'll do that for you. I go and I find out that piloting costs about 80 grand to become a pilot.
Really?
From 60 to 80 grand.
Holy shit.
And then for the first 6 years of your life, you're only making like 25 grand. So I sign up. And I started doing it. I'm like, Dad, I was like, I don't have the funds for this. And at that time, our family was doing pretty bad, too. The only good thing that was happening was my clothing store, because the clothing store was feeding the house plus feeding my dad's new store.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, OK, I'm like, shit. So I was like, Dad, we got to sell it. So we ended up selling the stores. We didn't make that much on
your store.
Was that?
What was your store called?
It was called So Fresh Clothing.
So Fresh Clothing.
Yeah.
OK.
So the store didn't sell for as much as it could have. But the websites, the apps we had developed, the contacts, everything else sold for a really lump sum of money.
Nice.
Everything sold. I told my dad, I was like, I want to travel the world before I get full time into piloting. So I got into piloting. I did piloting. I did about 34 hours. Loved it. Loved every second. It's like, you know, people say crack is the best drug. I'm like, you haven't went flying in a little shitty Cessna because that is the best drug. When you're taking off and landing, man, doesn't matter who you are. You love that. It's just, I don't know. I can't even explain it, how best of a feeling it is flying a little shitty Cessna.
I can't imagine either. Yeah. I haven't been there.
So. Oh, man. Like, you know, Discovery flights are like 70 bucks. You got to try it once, you know?
Yeah. The only thing I can think of or equate that to is, like, I went skydiving once.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Basically skydiving just without the dude in the back.
Right.
Just do it by yourself. You know what I mean? Like, at first you're scared shit, but then when you're in the air, you're like, I love this. And then when you get down, you're like, I want to do it again, you know?
Man, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so I was doing that, and then I started back then it was SIAST, and now it's SASC Polytechnic, the commercial pilot program. So sorry, before the commercial pilot program, I went around the world. So I went from here to Japan, to India, to Afghanistan, London. I just kind of did a whole world tour kind of thing. And when I went to Afghanistan, I got really sick. And one of the reasons I got sick was because of opium. They were burning opium there, as in just to get rid of it.
Okay.
So a lot of you that don't know, opium is what you make, I think, cocaine out of. Or you make cocaine out of opium. It's just a little poppy seed flower. And I didn't know that because, I mean, I don't do cocaine. Yeah. And I don't...
And they were just burning it.
Well, the army was burning it to get rid of it because that's what people were growing there because it was the easiest thing to grow. Oh, and it was like weed grows everywhere in BC. Opium grows poppy grows everywhere in Afghanistan.
Oh, I see.
So I smelt it and it just, my body, every hole was leaking. That's like the best way to put it. Like from years, ear was oozing, you know, I was shitting, I was throwing up. It was just real bad, you know? And my uncle's like, he's like, I got this really good doctor in front of the house. And it's, you know, those big shipping containers?
Yeah.
The hospital's inside the shipping containers. What? So I go inside and I'm like, hey, I'm like effed up, man. Like, you got to fix me. And he's like, I can fix you in 3 hours, 3 days or 3 weeks. I'm like, fuck. I was like, I got to be at a wedding. I was like, fix me in 3 hours. He's like, all right. Tells me to lie down on this raggedy chair. Just the worst thing I've ever seen. He's like, and he puts an IV in me. And every 5 minutes I open my eyes and he's putting more shit into that IV bag. Just keep putting. And I guess when I came to, I felt great there, you know, literally, I think he might've gave me crack. I felt so good. From there to Japan, to India, I felt great back all the way. When I got to Vancouver, that's when it started hitting me again. I got to Saskatoon. I was like, fucked. I was sitting downstairs. My cousins, I come upstairs and I took two steps and I just started huffing and puffing like I was 80 years old. Couldn't even walk upstairs. My cousin's like, you got to go to the hospital, man. I'm like, nah, I'm like, I'm good. Because in our family, we don't get sick. But when we get sick, we're like sick, you know? Go to the hospital and this whole Ebola thing's happening then too.
Oh, no.
So they're like, do you have Ebola? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm just feeling shit. So I guess the needle he had used was a dirty needle, technically, if you put it that way.
Oh, yeah?
So it gave me a bacteria that made my blood go thick and thin by itself.
Ooh.
So I was in the hospital from December 1st to December 25th, and I was quarantined. So you couldn't come see me unless you had the full everything on.
Right.
And I got a picture. I'll show you the picture here. Just terrible. So that was done, and I got out of that. Everything was done. At that time, they had told me that you can't fly anymore.
Really?
Yeah. So they were like,
of your illness?
Yes. They were like, we're scared that your blood might be thick at one point when you go up in the sky, might get a blood clot and get a stroke and die.
Right. That wouldn't be good.
Yeah. So I still didn't care. I still finished the first semester of SAS Polytech's commercial pilot program. And then I started working for Transwest Air. And I went up north. And I was like, maybe just getting out of the city will fix me. I worked up in Stony Rapids. One of the literally the three best months of my life. Believe it or not, we're up north Saskatchewan. Dude, I worked with some of the weirdest and funnest, like Glenn Quinn, you know, Shrey Trividi, Hayden, just Jordy, just these guys that are from all around Canada that just wanted a flying job. You know, Shrey was from Calgary. Glenn was from Saskatchewan. I think Jordy was from Montreal. Hayden was from Kelowna. All these guys came together and we were all together. We lived in a crew house. We worked at the docks, planes. We just had the best time of our lives, man.
Nice.
Like literally one of the best times of our lives. And believe it or not, one of the most expensive places to go fishing is up north Saskatchewan, Scott Lake Lodge. It's $10,000 for 9 days.
Right.
$6,000 for a week trip. So we're working with a lot of Americans. We're having a great time. And then I was like, I got to get back into flying. And I get back to Saskatchewan. I did my test and this and that, did my flight test, and then find out you can't proceed because my medical was revoked. So Transport Canada found out. They revoked it till I get a doctor's note saying that I'm fine. So I left flying, left Transwest Air, left everything, came back home, cried a little bit, you know, got into that whole depressed mode a little bit. And then this was about a year ago now. And then I broke up with my ex. It was like the worst day of my life, this and that. Jeez. Don't have a career now, right? I'm like, piloting's gone down the drain. I've already spent 20 grand. All I got is, you know, like, just money. That's all I had was just money. Like literally, I'm not like trying to say I had a lot of money, but all I had was money.
Yeah.
And it was like, I didn't need it. I was like, I don't want this. I was like, I want my life back. You know, flying.
You realize that money
doesn't bring you happiness. Exactly. Literally doesn't bring it. And then I met this awesome girl, Shayna, who's my girlfriend now, just the best girl ever. We were together for a year now. And just a couple of months ago, we went to St. Lucia together. Spent a month in St. Lucia, best trip ever. And December 4th, I gave my last blood exam. So I've been giving blood for 2 weeks, every 2-3 weeks, or just a vial just for them to test it. December 4th, I give my blood, and February something. I don't know. Yeah. Like a month after when I gave it, they're like, hey, like, you should go give a medical exam because your blood's cleared up. And I'm like, no effing way. I meet this person a year later, you know. Then we go to Mexico. So right after, we go straight to Mexico. We go to do all this traveling, have a great time, come back. I get my medical back. So right now, this is where I'm sitting at. I'm back into flying. I got an awesome person right beside me who has a good career and just a good head on her shoulder. I got a good photography business going. We're getting more into doing videography as we just got 3 contracts for 3 commercials to do.
Yes.
And I just traveled like literally the whole world. The only place I haven't been to is like cities in the States.
Man, like, that's so awesome.
Right?
Dude.
And now I'm sitting right there and people are like, oh man, like literally this is one of the messages I get when I message, I say a girl to do a photo shoot. And this is the true story. I messaged a girl and I was like, hey, we have this building. We rented this building. We're doing a big photo shoot. Would you like to be a part of it? And she's like, well, why is like a guy like you hitting me up? And I'm like, well, what do you mean like that? She's like, well, like, look at you and look at me. And this girl comes from a bad background, as in like, you know, like the typical West Side girl, right?
Okay.
And she's like, oh, like, you know, this and that. I'm like, well, I think you're like pretty, and I was like, I think you would go good in our photo shoot. She said, well, you just have like so much money and this and that. I'm like, I have no money. Like, people got to realize I have no money. All I have is just everything falling into place, everything going good, just good karma.
Right.
But I have no money. And that's what people mistake me for a lot, because they think this is the five year ago me who had this money from the store. I have no money at the moment. But the way I do everything maybe might seem like, you know, people like last year, I went to Banff, had a great time in Banff. Total trip cost $900. Took a nice Jeep out there, stayed in a nice hotel, this and that, $900 And people are like, oh man, you had such a good time. That probably cost a fortune.
It's a pretty good price.
Yeah. And I'm like, it didn't cost, it cost $900 Yeah. And, you know, other people are like, oh man, like I want to go on trips. What do I do? I don't have the money. Okay. Well, why don't you do this? Say you have a part-time, not even a full-time. Say you have a part-time job. You make $700 a month. I'm assuming with this part-time job, you don't have to pay rent. Because if you're paying rent, you have a full-time job.
Yeah.
Why don't you put away $50 every month? $50 Dude, after 12 months, after a year, you got enough to go on an all-inclusive Mexico, Puerto Vallarta, whatever the hell you want. Free alcohol, free food, a week, have the best time of your life. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
It's hard to get the long-term thinking, though, into people's minds.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, everyone wants the, oh, it's the weekend. I'm going to spend that $50 this weekend
and,
instead. You know?
And I'm the same thing. Like, our New Year's, we rented a big penthouse at the Obasa Suites, and we bought maybe, like, $600-$700 worth of alcohol. And anybody that came, you just drink. We didn't even, like, you
is
didn't
that
have
here?
Yeah, it was Saskatoon, man. Yeah. We have penthouses here and everything.
Damn.
So, you know what I mean? Like,
I didn't know we had that sort of.
Yeah, like, you know, if you nice go places. Obasa Suites or now what a big thing is.
Obasa.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And now what a big thing is Airbnb. You can Airbnb a nice loft for $100 a night.
In Saskatoon.
Exactly. You know, like one of the lofts that we have rented for end of next month is like a $700,000 loft, and it's costing us maybe $90.
Man, and then you can...
We do whatever we want. Exactly, right?
That's
like
smart.
People don't realize, like, you just got to do a little bit of research. And I'm bad at this. Saving money, I'm the worst. But...
I don't know if you're the worst.
Yeah, but you know
maybe
what?
Maybe in your mind, but...
Like, in my... Like, I mean,
an outside perspective.
Yeah, like, but I mean, so. Like, you know, like, I mean, if somebody comes up to me, and this is what I'm really bad at. If somebody comes up and is like, hey, Nawid, you want to go to Maui for a week? It'll cost $1,200. I'm like, done. I don't know where I'm going to get the money from, but I'm like, let's go. Because I just...
So you're the kind of person that, you know, you want something, you see it,
yeah,
and then you figure it out.
Yeah, like, it's just, exactly, that's how I do it. I wanted to buy, we're doing a bit more into this media stuff, and I want to get a better tripod with tripod heads, better sliders, and, you know, I just don't like the DJI Ronin, so I wanted to get a glide cam,
yeah,
cam, and people are like, man, and I looked it up, and it was like $2,100 for the whole thing. Everything I want.
That's how much a glide cam is?
No. Glide cam's only like $400, but with the slider I want.
Right.
I want an automatic slider so I can just press a timer.
That'd be so sweet.
And I just want to do time lapse, eh?
Yeah.
And so all this stuff is like $2,100. And at first I'm like, how the hell am I going to buy it? I'm like, screw it. I ended up buying it. I bought it. And now I'm like, I got so much equipment sitting at home that I never use. So you know what I mean? Like, the money just comes. It's just when you stress about money, You're already, first of all, you're doing no good. You're stressing yourself out. You know, you're already giving yourself a headache because you have no money. You think you have no money. Why don't you just get a job? Like, I mean, I know saying get a job just sounds, people are like, well, we can't, you know, like it's hard to get a job. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, dude, like I one of my biggest things is I look at Kijiji basically every day. It's just like a weird thing I do. I look at cameras first.
Okay.
So I look at all the camcorders, go through it. Then I go look at the media jobs and go through the media. There's probably one posting every week, right? It's okay. Really slow.
Right, for like wanted.
Wanted, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I look at wanted sales jobs. Don't know why I look at it. I just look at it. It's just like a thing I do. And then I go into the photography services. I look at not the wanted, but what people offer. So I look at their prices and it's a daily thing I do. I don't know why it is, but it's just what I do, you know? Yeah. And I think you got to get into the habit of if you need a job or if you want the job, you got to look, man. Like, it's not going to come to you. And that's one of the hardest things that people don't realize. When I was in St. Lucia for a month, St. Lucia cost me an arm and a leg. But people were like, oh man, like you're waking up to sun. You know, I was there for a month. It was, you know, we had this beautiful villa rented, you know, and it was just the best time. It was a good time. Doesn't beat that Stony Rapids time I had, but people are like, oh man, you're so lucky. Like, how'd you afford it? This and that. And I'm like, dude, like grab four of your buddies. All you save up for 10 months, you know, like 10 months sounds like a big deal, but it's not. 'Cause you got to think about it. When you were in grade 9, high school went like that. Yeah. Snap of a finger, your high school was gone. And my dad used to say in grade 9, he's like, hey, no 80s. He's like, you better start studying, because he's like, these 4 years are going to go by so fast. And when it did go by, I'm like, fuck, I should have studied just a bit more. I was never a dumb kid or anything. Like, I dropped out of Edwards School of Business because I didn't think that was like a thing for me.
Right.
You know, like I like to do everything that I think is good for me. Right. Like,
yeah,
doing a photo shoot with you is a good thing for me. I didn't do it because, you know, like I think that I was making $1 million off of it. I did it because I'm like, it gives us both the promotion we need. Right. Like I get your clients, and then my clients look at it and we're like, oh, like, who's this guy? You know, and they go into your page from a photo shoot. If we even get, say, 2 likes or 2 people that just inquire, that's just, we made our money back.
Exactly.
Right. Like, that's our biggest thing. That's like when people are like, Nuweed, why do you post on Kijiji? I post ads from Medita Media on Kijiji, and it costs $16 to have the 7-day thing. And they're like, that's such a waste of money. I'm like, I know it's a waste of money, but $16. I just need one person in that 7 day to see it and hit me up. I make my money back.
Exactly. Right?
You do everything to make money, but as long as you're having a good time, right? You know what I mean? Like, I have a friend who makes $30,000-$40,000 a month, you know, like just huge money. But sometimes I look back and I'm like I'm same happy as he is. When we go out, he buys me drinks, I'm happy. He's happy. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, I'm going to be happy with what he's doing, and I'm happy. And that's one of the biggest things. I used to be a jealous ass dude. Like, I mean, like, if I seen you, I'm not even a magician or a hypnotist. I'd be like, fuck, I'm like so jealous, you know, like, how does this guy do this trick? And I'd stay up all night, try to learn it or something stupid. And now I look at it, I'm like, I'm not like that. I'm just happy, you know, like, so when one of my biggest thing was seeing other photographers and when they do good pictures, and I'm like, oh man, like, and in my back of my head, I'm just like, fuck, like, I hope their camera breaks or something like that. And now when I look at it, I'm like, man, like, that's a dope picture. I want to go and do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
But just put my own twist on it. You know, like, put my own thing on it. One of the things was, do you remember when the full moon was happening a couple of months ago?
Yeah, for sure. It's the blue moon, right?
Or, yeah, the blue. Yeah. The
super moon?
Super moon. That's what it was. Everybody was out. Every single photographer I know was out. And everybody was like, oh man, like, you know, we got a picture of the moon, this and that. I ended up getting a picture of the moon, but I ended up getting a picture of the city from the bridge at like 3 a.m. and then taking that moon, which was this small, and just expanding it so bigger and putting it on there. You know, that was my touch to it.
Yeah.
It's still the same moon that everybody else took a picture of, but instead of just the moon, I have the city and this beautiful photoshopped, you know, city with a big moon. It just, you know what I mean? Like, just be, that's the thing I'm trying to work towards, is trying to be different, right?
More,
like,
creative.
More creative, exactly.
It's not just, hey, got it.
Exactly, you know? Right? And I don't know, like, for me, it's just, I feel like even my whole, my family, you know, my mom, my dad, well, we sit down, we watch a lot of Bollywood movies together, and it just looks like whenever we have no money, we're the happiest.
Yeah.
When we're like sitting there, you know, my mom's like, she's like, oh, you know, typical immigrant mom. Oh, I should start a job. You know, like, I should get a job. You know, we have no money. That's the time that I start. We're just happier. You know, we just start laughing more. We're like, mom, who cares if we have no money? You know, like, we'll all be together. You know, let's sell the house. And, you know, we just laugh more when we have no money. And when we have money, when everybody has money, so, you know, my brother has money, my dad has money, everybody kind of does their own thing. You know what I mean? But when we don't have money, everybody's kind of together.
Like, right.
We're in this together now. Okay. But when we get money, everybody's away. Like, nobody wants to talk to each other, you know? And that's what I kind of tell people, you know, I'm like, I was at that point where I had this money where, again, I literally bought a ticket from here to Tokyo, Tokyo to India, India to Afghanistan, Afghanistan back to India, India to London, London to India, India to Tokyo as I went along. Instead of buying a world tour ticket, I paid $1,400-$1,500 every time I wanted to just travel, like go to a different city.
Oh, man.
Again, right? I was at that point where I just didn't care. And now we're at that point, I'm like, if I had that money, I would literally invest it in, like, you know, I'd still travel. Like, that's the.
But do you regret that experience?
No, never. Yeah. Never. Good. Oh, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I just, I have this clothing brand that I'm working on. It's been, what, 5 years now on it. And the reason it's taking so long is I want to get the story and thing right. So when people look at it, they feel what I felt when I thought about it, you know, and the people making these shirts and stuff for me are the people I met in real life, you know, and I don't know, like the brand we're working on, it revolves a lot around youth. And the reason for that is, when I went to Afghanistan, I seen these, like these kids like picking up garbage and this and that. And I'm like, what are they doing? They're like, well, they're working for about 3 rupees a day and they pick up cans and bottles.
Whoa.
And 3 rupees, let me estimate that for you guys. $1 is 53 rupees. So they're working for like 5 cents a day, technically, you know? And I'm like, that's not, and these weren't even like 15, 16 year old. That I understand. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But these are like 7, 8 year olds. You know what I mean? Like kids that should be out playing, having a good time. And it always makes me mad because, I mean, I come from a background where my dad gave me everything I wanted. I'm not going to say that I was like struggling kid. When we first came to Canada, I mean, yeah, we did go to like the food bank, just a normal immigrant thing. But then, you know, as you go along on, you know, your parents are, you know, having a good job, this and that, like, right, you know, for most immigrants, whatever. But yeah, like this brand I've come in and it, I don't want to say the name or anything, but like, okay, it's a brand revolving around youth because I've been around the world so much that it's just like affected me. And now when I came back to Canada, it sucks because I see the same thing here. You know, we're such a brand community, right? Like me and you could be sitting here. We could both have the same shirt on and somebody could walk in. They would look at your shirt first because it has a brand logo. You know, say a Nike check mark in the corner.
Yeah.
Where mine would be just a Walmart shirt. Because that's what kind of guy I am. After owning the clothing store, I know how much everything is worth.
Yeah.
So that shirt that you buy for 50, in my head, I'm like, man, I'm like, that thing's made for like $7. It's wholesale for 15. I was like, why would I pay $50 for it?
Exactly.
So I'm like, that's why the brand name stuff, it's not a thing to me. Now, when I look at my brother, you know, he's buying these shoes for like $200, these jackets for like $100. And I'm like, man, like, it's so much money wasted. But again, in his head, that's what he's used to, right? It's the brand. The brand is buying him, right? And that's why
it's an interesting way to word it.
Yeah, like when you look at our brand, it's different. Actually, I can say the brand name. I don't know why I couldn't say it before. It's called Musawa Apparel.
Okay.
And Musawa in Arabic means equality. Originally, it was called Equality One Apparel. Just thought that was super gay. But then we sat down and we started looking for words that mean equality, and every other language was just harder to pronounce or just insanely hard to spell out.
Okay.
That it would just look weird. You know what, right, I mean? Like,
yeah. So kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. So Musawa, you know, it's just Musawa, you know, and when you tell that to somebody that speaks Arabic, they're like, well, that's not what it means. But Arabic has like a billion dialects. So it's from the dialect that we thought. Musawa, you know?
Yeah.
So if you speak Arabic and you think Musawa doesn't mean equality, you're speaking the wrong Arabic. Yes. But yeah, dude, that's where I'm at with my life. I have my first flight tomorrow, back in two years. I'm 77 hours into flying. I did a flight test, it expired. So now I got to redo everything. So I'm basically starting from the beginning. 21 years old, be 22 in May 1st. That's about it. I want to travel. Yeah,
super young still too.
Yeah. And you know, see, like that's where I look at it different from even my girlfriend. She's like, you're super young. In my head, if you don't know what you're doing by 21, like I, you know, sometimes I'll sit and like 2 years ago when I couldn't fly anymore, I'm like, I got no career, no future. What am I doing with my life? I was just so depressed. You know, and that's one of the things that us immigrants, I think, are just a bit more because we just want a career to go into, you know, and we don't realize that this is the best years of our lives, you know, like 18 to like 22. That's like prime. Man, yeah. Just go out and just party. I don't know. Like that just sounds bad when I say just go party. But I mean, like, save up money and travel at least.
For sure.
I always say that, like, for immigrants, at least go back to where you're from. No matter what,
still,
I mean,
have yet to do that.
Yeah, you know, that's just like one of the things that I always look at. I'm like, just go back to where you're from. Now, if you're from like North Korea or something, don't go back. But like, you know, if you're from a country that doesn't have, you know, bombs going down on it,
of course, yeah,
go to it. I went to Afghanistan not because I had to or nothing, but I just wanted to see my grandfather before he passed away. right? I've never wanted to be like, oh, because my mom's side grandparents are all gone. My dad's side, only his mom and dad are alive. I'm like, I want to see them before they pass away, and then I'll be like, oh, I've never, you know, never met my grandparents.
Right.
So I always say, like,
that's a good reason.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and like, at least go back to where you're from, because it'll really open your eyes, and you'll really see, especially if you go with, like, to a third world country, yeah, and you're from Canada. First of all, you'll be rich as shit there, because $1,000 here is like 100,000 rupees. So I mean, you know, like, you're,
it goes a long way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, so food costs you like 10 rupees, so you're paying like 20 cents for food. So I mean, like, you know, like, you're gonna be rich, so you might as well just go back and have a great time there.
Because I think a lot of people forget that, you know, we're in a wealthy country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Like, and we're living good, man. Like, people don't realize like that we're living very well, and that's what I'm always happy for. That sometimes, obviously, I forget to, and I'm, you know, I'm like, oh, I wish I had more money, this and that. But then I sit down, I'm like, nah, I wish I did. It's fine. I'm fine with where I am. It's not a big deal. But yeah, that's where I'm at. One of the mistakes that I did in getting into photography, videography, is thinking I knew everything. So
I did the same thing with magic, man.
Yeah,
magic and hypnosis.
Yeah, like, you get into it, you do two things, and you're like, oh, I'm
the shit.
I'm it. You know, that's like when I started flying. I did like, I think like my first solo. That's when you fly the plane by yourself. After this, it's like you solo at like 8 hours. So you go 8 times up in the air, you fly the plane by yourself.
Whoa,
dude! When I landed that plane in behind WestJet in front of Delta Airlines, and when those captains were like, "Hey, kid, nice landing," I was like, "I am the shit." You know, I'm like, I am Emirates Airlines Captain Naweed Sherzai, you know, like, came home, I'm like, Dad, I soloed, you know, like, and the place I fly at, they give you like a picture and everything. And I'm like the best dude ever. Didn't realize, I went up one more time and a gust of wind hit me, and I'm like, fuck, I'm like, what am I doing? You know, and I'm like, this is a little tiny Cessna. Same thing with photography, videography. I always thought I was like better than everybody else. And now, my dad likes to say that it's because I'm getting older. But I think that's totally not it. I think it's just life. It's just, you know, hitting me. And I seen a big decline in getting jobs, right? Like a huge decline in getting jobs. And I'm like, why? It's my attitude. You know, I was like, I'm the best dude around. You know, I could do magic way better than you. But I have no clue, you know, where the word magic even came from. You know, like,
right,
something like that. And now I just started, you know, learning more about lighting, about sound, this and that, trying to put myself in every single thing anybody does. If somebody needs help with shoots, I'll, you know, do it. If somebody needs equipment rental, they can just take my equipment and, you know, just tell me what they did with it, because I want to learn from that, right? Because some people can use it better. And I started putting my equipment down, downsizing my equipment. So I just sold a few cameras, sold a DJI Ronin, sold a couple of drones, because there's no point in having $100,000 in equipment when, first of all, you can't even make $1,000 out of them,
right?
Because nobody's hiring you. And second, because you don't know what to do with them. You know what I mean? So that's a plan now, is to learn more. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to run Madita Media as well as I can, start flying, and launch the brand hopefully here in like 2-3 months, and
nice,
go from there, I guess. Yeah,
I love it, man.
Yeah,
you have a really inspiring story. I really enjoyed hearing it.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you so much. Yeah, like, the thing with my story is, like, once I start talking about it, you can't like stop talking, because there's just so many things that like make it to what it is. You know what I mean? Like, if you take out the traveling, or you take out like the going to Afghanistan, it ruins the whole
pieces that
exactly like,
picture. Yeah, you definitely need all of that.
Yeah,
and man, you have to say, you're a really good speaker too.
Yeah, thanks. Like, yeah, you know, I was working at a glass shop, and some guy like called, and I was like, hey, what's up, you know, blah blah, talk to him. He's like, where are you from, son? And I was like, well, I was born in India, parents from Afghanistan. He's like, well, yeah. I was like, you're damn well spoken. And I'm like, what the hell does that even mean? You know, like, I'm just speaking normally. But that all has to do with when I was in elementary, WBIT Elementary, I went to the West Side School. They used to send us off every second afternoon to another elementary called John Lake Elementary, just to work on my English.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this was racist or anything, but I'm happy they did it, they literally sent us there to get rid of our accent. So I don't know if that's like a racist thing I should be saying or like a thing they did is like, you know, like
maybe their intentions, but who knows?
Yeah. But I think I'm happy what they did because me, my cousins, I mean, everybody that was with me in that class, we don't have accents anymore. You know, where you listen to my dad, who's been here the same amount of time, who obviously is a bit older, so it's harder for him to lose it. But we lost everything.
And okay. Funny story. My grandma, she's retired now, but she used to work at the hospital.
Yeah.
And in health records. And she would answer the phone sometimes. Mm-hmm. So my mom calls in to just talk with her.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Hello." And she asks for her, my name. She's like, "Oh, it's me." And then her accent immediately, once she knew it was her daughter, her accent came back. So she knows how to not, but it's just easier to.
Yeah. See, and like, that's how I am with English. And then if somebody speaks to me in Hindi, Pashto, Farsi, I'll like completely change.
Yeah.
And like a totally different accent. And then people are like.
So you can do all the accents?
Too? Yeah. Like, I mean, I was born in India. So Hindi's like my, or Urdu, I guess. I don't know. Whichever one. My mom's tongue is Pashto.
Okay.
It's from Afghanistan. And when we came to Canada, we played around with a lot of people from Iran. We learned Farsi from them, and Farsi is one of the languages from Iran plus from Afghanistan.
Oh, cool.
So it's Dari or Farsi, and we learned that from them. So Pashto and Farsi, I can speak it, but not how I'm speaking right now. I can't speak it this fast.
Okay.
I have to slow down a little bit. But Hindi, I can speak completely fine.
Sweet.
So
how many, that's four or three?
Yeah, four. But I mean, like, if you speak Punjabi in front of me, I can understand it.
Okay.
But can't speak it at all. And my baby brother now, I want him to learn Spanish and French. I don't know why, but I just feel like those two languages like make up the world.
Yeah, those would be powerful.
You know what I mean? Like, English obviously is the most powerful, but like all over Mexico, it'd be nice to go to Mexico and know Spanish.
Exactly. So what's next, man? Like, you got your pilot's license back. You're like good to go. You're flying tomorrow. Like, what do you see in the next couple years?
It all depends, man. Like, for piloting, me and my dad have enough money saved up, or not saved up, put aside, so I can pay off piloting. So at least I'll have no debt there. The clothing brand, we're gonna start a Kickstarter page for that. Just because, not because that we like really really need the money, but it's to prove a concept that. Is it worth for us to go and spend so much money, start this brand, and people will buy it? If people don't buy it, what's the point of us spending so much money? Right. So we're going to start a Kickstarter page where the donations, if you want to back us, will start from $1. But when it gets to the $25 mark, we give you a shirt. So you're technically not really donating free money. You're buying. You're pre-ordering, right? Just like most backers, how it works. You donate more than $25, multiple shirts. You name the next shirt, design the next shirt. You know what I mean? Like it's just a concept for us to see that people will buy this and whatever. And since I have so many friends in the media industry, I feel like we could get the word out and see if people, you know, like it, not like it. The hardest thing right now is trying to get our video put together because it's slowly me and I don't want to. Again, now I'm cheap, right? And I don't want to spend any money. So I don't want to go out there and hire a production team that costs, you know, $2,000-$3,000. I'm like, $2,000-$3,000? Because to start a clothing brand, you basically need like $600. You know what I mean? Like people don't realize like, oh, to start a business, you need so much money. To start a clothing store, you need like $20,000. People don't realize like, oh man, you need like $100,000. You're not buying Urban Planets or Nike.
Yeah.
You're starting your own place. All you need is a space and to pick up the phone and actually do some work, right? So contact these people. So piloting is going on right now. Tomorrow, my first flight. Might move to Saturday if I have to go to Edmonton tomorrow. But piloting, doing that, learning more about videography, cinematography, which I'm completely new to. Cinematography, I'm like, I have no clue what it even means, but apparently it's like real important to get into videography. So do that. I want to start this YouTube channel. So like we have the we just got the name approved for Naweed Vlogs. So my YouTube channel changed to Naweed Vlogs.
Okay.
And I haven't posted on there for a while since St. Lucia. It was a couple of months ago. And one of the reasons was I was just overwhelmed. Just so much work. And I just didn't want to do it. But hopefully within the next few weeks, I can do a daily weekly vlog back. Do the weekly vlogs. But in those vlogs, again, like we were talking before, is what I keep doing wrong is putting so many things into one 6-minute video. It doesn't work.
Yep.
Now we're going to focus on just one thing. So like how we did the photo shoot with you, mm-hmm. you know, just focus on that. That's right. It. That's
exactly.
One vlog.
Tell that story.
Exactly. So I want to start up the YouTube channel. And then we have I've wrote a couple of skits. I have a lot of friends that own like cell phone shops, my dad that owns a convenience store, friends that own car dealerships, blah, blah. And I'm like, I have a lot of opportunity to make funny skits at all these locations, you know, do funny
and then
videos.
It promotes those locations.
Exactly. Promotes those locations. Plus, you know, it just promote, you know, like it promotes us in a way, you know? And so that's what I want to do now is, you know, it's piloting. Running Medita Media, launching the brand of Musawa Apparel, starting the Naweed Vlogs, and starting that YouTube channel we want to start. And our first skit, I think people are going to love it. It's Saskatoon Shoppers.
Okay.
It's in a convenience store. So it's, and one of the things we're doing is we're just making for the Saskatoon audience.
Nice.
I don't care about the 7-point-some billion people in the world. It's just for the 300,000 in Saskatoon. That's why we're going to name all our videos. It's going to be like Saskatoon Shoppers, Saskatoon Drivers, Saskatoon Cell Phone Shops, right? It's Saskatoon.
Yep.
It's just meant for Saskatoon. Because if we can capture this audience, we can capture the other audience, right?
Exactly. Start with the niche and grow from there.
Exactly. So yeah, just those six things is like...
Plus, people from Saskatoon are all over the world now.
Exactly.
And they're going to want to tune in.
Exactly.
And they'll tell their friends,
yeah,
hey, this is where I'm from. And
yeah, exactly. You know, so that's our...
I like it.
That's our plan right now. But again, everything could change.
Yeah.
Everything, you know what I mean? Like, and that's what people don't realize. Life is just like a mystery, right? Everything could change in a second and you'd be like, ah, shit.
And you can't predict it.
Exactly. Right?
And if you try to, you know, you try to fall into that, then... All of a sudden, if it doesn't happen, then you're not going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
And you just got to be open to all this different change.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Move with the punches and go.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that's one of the things. Yeah. And one more thing that we want to do is for the vlog is have like people that we've kind of worked with.
Okay.
There's a lot of guys in Saskatoon that are doing very well, you know, like yourself or some of the rappers in the city that, we've kind of grown up with videographers, business people. And I think we want to do like a showcase. You know what I mean? Like, hey, check this guy out. You know, like he does this. And, you know, we want to just basically do an interview, but like tell a story.
Right.
With how it's going to be promoting our Medita Media, but it's also going to be promoting the person that we're telling the story about.
Of course. Yep.
So that's one thing. Again, you come up with ideas here and there and you kind of work with what you can. And
yeah. Now, how do you prioritize what to do next?
Okay. So for the next week, all I'm going to do is just study the basics of piloting because I forgot everything. You forget everything every month. And I haven't flown two years. And I was sitting down, I have a picture of a Cessna's layout. And I was trying to go through my checklist and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, oh, master switch. I'm like, where the fuck is the master switch? I'm like, avionics. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, it's been a long time since I've, you know, it's like getting into a car and you have no clue what to do. So for the next week, I'm just going to be focusing on that. Just try to get the basics down. So, because every time I go flying, it's about $260.
Okay.
Right. For
like
an hour.
Fuel and stuff.
Yeah. Just fuel, plane rental and instructor rental.
Right.
So why spend an extra $260 if I could have just learned it at home? And not wasted their time, right? After that, I think I'm gonna finally go on to a daily planner, man. Like, I was never the guy that went by a schedule.
Yeah.
But I think if you've seen my Snapchats, I stay up late a lot. You know, it's just like how my body, because my medication is used to now. But I think I'm going to have to slowly switch that, that I'm in bed by, you know, 10, 11, I'm up by, you know, 5:36.
Yep. That switch is hard.
Exactly. The switch is hard, but, that, and now I got to start going back to the gym. I've gained a lot of weight from traveling, which, you know, I'm like, I'm okay with. And, if your girl's happy, you're happy, right? Yeah. So she's happy with the weight. I'm okay with the weight.
I can make a suggestion for the time though. I found that if you stay up, mm-hmm. you know, if you're used to staying up late, just stay up
into
the next day. And then, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're going to fall asleep right away.
Yeah.
So you go and you fall asleep at 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And boom, instantly changed.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. No, I think I got to do that. I think I just get to that point where I stay up at 4 a.m. I'm like, ah, so tired. And I just pass out.
See, the worst part is if you stay up and you like force yourself through 4 a.m. and you get to like 10, 11, and then you fall asleep, then it's even more fucked.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you're just like, you sleep during the day and you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm going to do that. So I think I'm going to do, my routine is going to be gym in the morning, 2 hours of studying, 2 hours of editing, and then, doing client calls. I've been really slacking. I've been declining a lot of jobs lately, because I don't feel that I'm, qualified to do it. Sorry.
Okay.
You know, so we declined a wedding, up in Winnipeg or Edmonton, one of those places, just 3 days ago. Money was great, as you know, like weddings, money's always great. Because the wedding was so big, I was like, man, I don't want to screw this up. You know, so I just told him, I was like, hey, look, thanks for the offer, but just not at this point. You know, how do you tell somebody to, hey, let's redo that shot? You know, like, let's say the father-daughter dance. Hey, let's just redo it once more, guys. You know, like, you can't. It's just...
Yeah, you got to get the candid right then.
Exactly. So I think I want to learn about lighting and lenses and all this stuff before, you know, we offer stuff like that. We have weddings booked for, like, June and, you know, next year, which is fine. We've taken deposits for them. So right now we're going to learn more about it. So when we get to the thing, we can do...
You can kill it.
Exactly. We can kill it.
Awesome.
You know, if they're happy, we're happy. So do that right now. So that's our plan.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you definitely want to make sure that you provide a premium product all the time.
Exactly. And like that's one of our things. It's we want our product to be customer centered, right? So we believe in quality over quantity. I'd rather do one wedding 1 year than do 30 weddings in 1 year. And those 30 people just be like, this product was shit. This video is terrible. Where that one person be like, man, like this person's awesome. From that one person, I guarantee you, I'll get 30 weddings next year. But from those 30 people, I'll get no weddings next year. You know what I mean? Like those 30 bad reviews compared to one good review, I'd rather have $0 for a year, but the next year do so much better.
Right. But how do you get to the quality part?
I think is... like any photographer, videographer, you got to start off free. You know, you got to do free services.
Yeah.
After that, you got to learn yourself. When you look at something, you're like, I'm like good with this, right? That's one point. But then when you show it to your brother, sister, mom, dad, and they're like, wow, like Nawid, this is a, you know, like this is a great video. That's a whole different point. That's where you want to be at. When you show it to your friends and they don't just tell you it's good because they're your friends, but they tell you it's good because it's actually dope.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, wow, like this is an awesome video. You know, that's where I want to be at. Right. And that's where any videographer, photographers want to be at. But I mean, it takes years. I remember, again, my friend Dilly Bat Productions, Dylan G, he started off like 6 years ago rapping. He graduated from as an audio engineer. So he's a music guy, got into photography, videography, did that for a bit. I didn't see him take off till last year. That's 5 years later. You know, so for somebody to work it out, work a part-time job somewhere else and do this part-time and then do this full-time, still struggle. And now look at him. He's traveling the world. You know, I think he just came back from Mexico and he's going back in 4 days. So that's like an amazing thing, right? That's where everybody wants to be at.
Right.
And if I could get paid to go to a different country, that's...
That'd be awesome. That's
dude, doesn't even matter. You could put me in the lobby and I'll sleep in the lobby of a hotel as long as I'm in a different country. I'd love it. You know, that's like a, that's like a dream, you know, and that's where I think piloting comes in, because I'm like, I love traveling, and if I can fly a plane there,
yeah, man,
even better.
You fly yourself there. Yeah. Just yeah, man. Yeah. So with piloting, do you think, you know, one day you'll just have your own private jet and just take friends or
man? I was in class one day, and the Dubais, they're really rich. A white couple from Saskatoon, and they gave like $9 million to the university. Rich people. They bought a brand new jet, and the husband's like, yeah, he's like, the wife wants to go over to Chicago for some pizza or something. I'm like, man, that's a $100,000 pizza, you know? Like, so does everybody want to be that rich? Yes. Do I want to be that rich? Yes. Am I going to be that rich? I don't think for a little bit. Am I okay with that? Totally. If one of my buddies gets a jet, I'll totally be on board to fly you anywhere you want, you know, but.
Oh, man, that's so awesome, man. So how can people find you?
Okay, so, sorry, give me 2 seconds here.
Yeah, no problem.
Should be able to reverse. Okay, so I'm one of those guys that loves people. I love talking to people. So you can find our company, Moditta Media, on Instagram, Facebook. Our website just got launched, ModittaMedia.ca. But if you're somebody that's like likes photography, likes videography, and wants to get into it, and wants to learn how I learned, was just adding videographers, photographers. So instead of adding the media aspect where you just see no behind the scenes, you just see the full done, you know, all your pictures. You don't see anything else. You might as well just add me on my, so it's just Nawid Sherzai, right? N-A-W-I-D, Sherzai, S-H-I-R-Z-A-I, or Nawid110 on Instagram. And you'll see a lot of behind the scenes or the pictures that I love, because I'll tell you about, you know, I love the coloring in this picture. I love how the angle is in this picture. I feel like when I follow other photographers, videographers, that's what I learn, right? I look at how they do it, not from their media pages, but their personal pages, because that's okay. How, you know. But if you're just a weirdo, just don't add me. But yeah, I most of the time, I always add back on my personal page, just because it's always somebody that wants to learn something, and you'll always get a lot. I love the feedback. So if you ever tell me, they're like, Nui, this is a shitty picture, I'll never get mad. I'll just ask you, why is it a shitty picture? And you'll tell me the color grading in this sucks. I'd be like, thanks, man. You know, because that's what I need. I need people to criticize me. I don't want you to always be like, oh, this is a great picture. Oh, awesome picture. Because you're just lying. You're just telling me shit I want to hear. But if you're one of those people that are like, man, this is a shit picture, you know, the quality sucks, you know, that's what I want. I want you to add me. And but yeah, so Moditta Media, or let us hit a... 1,000 people on Snapchat. I think we're at the 800 mark right now, so we need 2 more 100 people. It's Nawid110.
And his snaps are hilarious.
Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah, we're gonna get more funnier. You know, we're gonna do more stuff. And if you're wondering where the 110 and everything, so I mean, Instagram is 110, like the alphabet O, and Snapchat is 110. Our Instagram was hacked. Few months back, so they deleted everything. So at that time we had 110, and then when we remade it, we could only do 110 because zero was taken. 110 was my store, so it was 110 Wedge Road. That's okay. Where it was located. I took that 110 and I put it in, so it's Nawid110@gmail.com, 110 Nawid110, Nawid110.
So it's throwback.
The store was such a big part of me. That just never want to let it go, right? It's 110. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, awesome, sometimes, man. It's like, yeah, some things you just can't let go.
It's in you. It's
exactly. So the store was what started me. And that's what people know me in Saskatoon. You know, that's a kid that had the store. Can't really just let that go. It's one of your like biggest accomplishments. You know what I mean? That's like your biggest performance ever. And you can't just let that one go. But yeah. Add me up and go from there.
Cool. Well, I will make sure that I put all the links for all of your social media, websites, everything.
Thank you.
In the show notes for this episode.
Yeah.
Now, before I let you go, and before we say our last words, if there's a question I ask almost everybody, and that's, so I just want you to imagine a hypothetical situation, okay? I want you to imagine that, like, my nemesis, like an evil hypnotist or something, right? And now this is not possible, so don't worry, guys. But this evil hypnotist, he went and he went to all of your friends, everybody that could possibly know you, all your subscribers, all your followers, yeah. and he erased all memory of you from their minds.
Mm.
And now you have one opportunity to create something that would reverse that effect and remind everybody who you are.
Yeah.
What would you create?
Wow.
It's a tough one.
I think again it'd be the store.
Yeah.
That's where it originated. Like it started, like, I mean, like when our Instagram got hacked, I think I was at like 6,000-7,000 followers. And these were like people from Saskatoon that followed everything I did, gave me, oh, this is shit, that's shit, you know, blah blah. And when that was gone, it was like, fuck, like that was my livelihood. That was my business. It was all gone. So it was like real hard to get back. But yeah, I think I would do the store.
Nice.
Like
okay.
Reopen one or just do something with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what people would be like, oh shit. Like
right.
Like there it is.
That's the weed. Boom. Yeah. And then
yeah,
snapped out of it.
Well, the people in my generation or people in my year, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that'd be it. Yeah. It'd be okay. Like that. That'd be the store. Nothing else. I don't think anything else.
Cool. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a yeah. good answer. I like yeah. it. And yeah, I guess, do you have anything else that we didn't touch up
on? No, that like no, that was about? It. Here's some cool drone footage I got for you. I brought some drone footage to
sweet.
Give to you. So
awesome.
Yeah, put that in there.
That'll be going in my intros so you sweet. Guys can check it out in some of the videos. And yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks very
again,
much for
dude.
Coming out.
Thank you.
Boom, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you learned a lot, and I want you to think about something that you learned in this episode. And the first person it makes you think about, I want you to make sure that that person hears about this podcast so that they can learn the lesson as well. Now, I have a show coming up on April 20th at the Capitol in Saskatoon. It'll be a comedy hypnosis show followed by my uncle's band, Mo Marley, playing afterwards that night. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door. Hope to see you guys there. Now, there's a lot of stuff coming up pretty soon. I've been recording a lot of episodes so that when I leave to the States, I'll be able to continue posting content on a weekly basis to this podcast. Now, if you want to follow any of that, just go to my other social channels, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube for vlogs, Facebook, and yeah, let's link up on there and you'll be able to see what I'm up to and get some updates. Twitter as well. I always forget about Twitter. I kind of use Twitter. Now, the show notes for this episode, if you want more information on Naweed and all of his contact info in one nice, concise area, it'll be at hadlen.com/CMC048. That's hadlen.com/CMC048. Thanks so much, everybody, and have a great day. And I will leave you now with a track from a future podcast guest, Aaron Bashu, aka Fabric. Enjoy.